Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And we might wonder why he spent so much time in the beginning of this particular chapter of the letter to talk about things like encouragement and consolation and compassion and sympathy. Well, if you skip a few pages forward to chapter 4, there's one verse that gives us a hint. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Two women who were leaders in this faith community seem not to be, we could assume, in the same mind of the Lord. So there seems to be some conflict brewing within a community that used to be of one mind. And Paul is recognizing that the only thing that we seem to be able to be in one mind about is who Jesus Christ is. As you notice, as he moves into this and he talks to us as he's talking to them about having not our own interest, but the interest of others in our heart. He's trying to get them to look outside of themselves. But in order to do that, he has to find some common ground. And think about the church today, that how divided we have become. We have multiple denominations that believe different things, different aspects of the same thing. But there is one thing we all believe, and it comes out of this hymn that Paul gives to us in this letter. We all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe that he came and emptied himself of his heavenly position to be here on earth in human form. And he didn't wear his crown of glory the whole time and said, Hi, I'm the Son of God. Hi, I'm the Son of God. He came as a humble carpenter. He came and he lived and he worked and he breathed and he did the role of a servant and a slave to the point that he died on the cross. We all believe that. So Paul is bringing a community that is separated and divided into that one place of belief, that one story that they can remember. And the language is so beautiful, it's probably a hymn that they have sung in their own worship. So as they were reading this letter, they could remember the one Lord, the one who died on the cross, so that we might all have life and have it eternal. So as Paul brings this community to this remembrance of what brings unity, this is the one thing we can agree. And this is through this one thing is that we are to do the work that we are called to do. And then he goes on to say, to worry about our own salvation, work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. How many of you have read that and thought, that's about my salvation? This is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. He's not talking about the individual salvation of each person in that church. He is talking about the salvation of the church, the living body of Jesus Christ. Think about in the Old Testament, those times when God has been present on earth, what we call a theophany, when the cloud of smoke was there between the Egyptian and the Israelites, when that fire led them down the path and kept the Egyptians from them, or when Moses saw the burning bush. Those are theophanies, when God is present here on earth. Jesus intends his church to be a theophany, that when we work out our salvation as the body of Christ, we become empowered by God. We become the burning bush of Kittrell. We become the pillar of smoke of Vance County. We become that flame of fire in the world. Because what we have done is we have allowed God to come into our body, our one body, called Plank Chapel United Methodist Church, and allow God to do the work of transformation. Because we can't do this alone. I want us to think about what's coming up. We've talked about it. The men's barbecue. It's one event that we do. We have one purpose, to provide a meal that people want to come back for year after year after year, because it is an excellent time of gathering as fellowship and friends and family. And as a church body, we come together and prepare this. The men have already been preparing the sauce, and then the pigs, and then the cakes, and then the coleslaw, and then the potato salad. There is not a person in the church who isn't capable of doing something, that doesn't do something for this one event. We become one body. But there's another story, isn't there? That at some point, year after year after year, we lose focus. We don't see the goal. We don't see the aim. We don't see what our intention is. We don't think about the others. We begin to think about ourselves. And somewhere along the line, a conflict arises. And we have a little bit of chaos in the mix of either mixing up potato salad or baking cakes or serving the right size scoop or wrong size scoop of barbecue. Somewhere along the line, our focus and our unity gets torn because we begin to think of ourselves. Yet in the end, we have a barbecue that has many more cars out in our driveway and parking lot than we've ever thought possible. And we have people singing and talking and having a great time, so that anybody with hearing aids takes them out because they don't like the sound in the room. What if this year we practice what Paul is asking the people of Philippi, the church of Philippi, to practice? To have their focus on the one who brings unity. To have their focus on the purpose that this barbecue isn't just about bringing money into the church. This barbecue is about us being that beacon, that theophany of Christ here in the midst of this community, that as they come in and see what we do to prepare a meal, to see that how we are unified as one body providing this meal to them, that all they can see is Christ's love, because we are loving one another and we are loving them who come in our doors. Who knew that barbecuing a pig could bring about a theophany? It can. It can, if we have our focus on the one who calls us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian. He was a German Christian in the midst of World War II, who was angry with the Nazis and made the stand that he would not allow his church to be used by those who were bringing about the destruction of a race. And this is what he says: the church is the church only when it exists for others. The church must share in the secular problems of ordinary human life, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must not underestimate the importance of human example, which has its origin in the humanity of Jesus. Jesus Christ brought each and every one of us here. Jesus Christ is the reason we are going out into the world to proclaim the good news. Jesus Christ is the salvation of the world when we, his church, his body, think not first of ourselves, but of others. And there's a hymn in the Cokesbury. It's on page 177, and it goes a little bit something like this. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others. Yeah, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be: help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. And then this last verse. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while still thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live in thee. Church, we are a church that loves dearly, sometimes loves to the part that we get frustrated with one another. But we have the potential to be such a beaming light in this community. Paul was writing to a community he knew could turn themselves around, even though they were having a struggle, if they shifted their focus from themselves to others. God is calling us to think of the others in our community and to step up and be his church here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.